The Australian Years, 1891 to 1900, Volume 4, Chapter 26. 1897, the new church building at Avondale. On Sabbath, January 2, 1897, in the loft above the sawmill, Ellen White spoke to the believers comprising the Corranbong Church. It had become a place for general storage as well as a place for meetings. The audience filled the room, but, she wrote, it did appear so badly. There was, well, I need hardly describe it, almost everything but money. She exclaimed, I am fully decided that we must have a meeting house. Letter 70, 1897. With the construction, just before school opened, of the second story over the kitchen and dining hall, a room of limited space became available for meetings, and everyone was thankful for this. But as more students came in and the community grew, this proved to be too limited. On Wednesday morning, August 11, Baker and Daniels, the presidents of the two leading conferences, were on the campus to counsel with Ellen White and others concerning school matters and the coming camp meetings. Word had just been received at Corranbong of the discovery of an accounting error in Melbourne. £1,100 on deposit for the school had been lost track of, £600 from the Wessels family and £500 from the General Conference, Letter 177, 1897, but was now available. Construction of a dormitory for the men could now be undertaken, and £100 was allotted toward a church building. In reporting the interview, Ellen White wrote, "We feel the need of a church very much." Manuscript 175, 1897. Friday morning, August 13, Daniels and Baker again met with Ellen White. The subject was Ways and Means How to Build the Meeting House, IBID. A few days later she wrote of it, "We took matters up quite fully, and decided that a meeting house must be built. We decided to start the work at once, and then in a few weeks we would have a place of worship," Letter 90, 1897. She saw that the faith of the brethren was limited. They felt they should build small, to accommodate possibly 200. Ellen White was for a larger building, one that would seat 300, but she held back. She was so happy that the brethren sensed fully the need and were willing to venture that she, as she said, was glad to carry these brethren with us in this, feeling that in time additional light would be given. Then that Friday afternoon mail brought a pleasant surprise that to Ellen White was an omen of God's favor, a letter from the Harmon Lindsay family in Africa, accompanied by a draft for £100. Ellen White in her thank you letter wrote, "When your draft came, we felt to praise the Lord, who had put it into your hearts to give of your means to help in building a house for the Lord, that his people might worship him decently and in order. We had decided to make a beginning with the £100 on hand, knowing that the Lord would not leave us without means to complete the house IBID Sabbath." Daniels took the morning worship service and spoke to 175 people who crowded into the upstairs temporary chapel. Ellen White rejoiced that they could now see their way and would soon have a simple, neat chapel erected, Manuscript 175, 1897. Daniels and Baker left Sunday morning, but the church project was not forgotten. On Monday morning Ellen White was requested to join others in considering where the meeting house should be erected. She wrote, "There is a beautiful spot of land, forming a gentle rise, at a little distance from the main road. I remembered distinctly seeing this spot of land when we first visited this place in 1894. We remarked upon this spot and admired it. It is not thickly timbered, and there is no underbrush. We were impressed that this was the place on which to erect the church. We saw no valid reason why this building should not be on the very best location that the land afforded," Letter 90, 1897. On Monday evening Ellen White conversed with Metcalf Hare concerning the proposed church, but found him less enthusiastic than was she and others. As they parted she told him, "We will not hasten the building of the meeting house." But this decision was short-lived. Writing to Hare the next day, she told of a change in her position, "Last night has changed my ideas materially. I received instruction to speak to the people, and tell them that we are not to leave the house of the Lord until the last consideration. I was instructed that our place of worship should be of easy access, and that the most precious portion of the land should be selected as the place on which to build for God." The question was asked, "Have you shown proper respect for the Master? Have you shown the eloquence of true politeness toward God? You cannot worship God in a correct manner where you are now. You cannot bow before Him in a suitable position. Build a house for God without delay. Secure the most favorable location. Prepare seats that will be proper for a house of God." Letter 56, 1897. The hastening pace on Wednesday, August 18, Ellen White noted in her diary, "In the afternoon we visited Brother Hare and we came to an understanding upon some points in regard to building a church without delay. We cannot see the necessity or the least excuse for delay. When reproof comes that we have been negligent in regard to building a house for the Lord that we can dedicate to Him, we will feel clearly that we have not acted our part, Manuscript 175, 1897. Things were now beginning to move. On Thursday, August 19, Ellen White told of developments. Sarah and I visited Brother Haskell and had a profitable talk with him in regard to the meeting house plans for the size of the building and the preparing of material. Sarah and I rode again to the site which we thought the best place for the meeting house. Certainly it is the most beautiful spot upon the whole grounds. We cannot see where there can be a spot that will have greater advantages. We will honor God in preparing a place where he can meet with his people who love God and keep his commandments, Ibid. Friday morning Elder Haskell came to Sunnyside and had breakfast with the family, and there were further discussions of plans for the new church. Then he, Ellen White, and Sarah rode to the school grounds to select the precise site for the church. They could see that they must have more than just one of the lots available, and talked of four or five. Work will commence on Sunday morning, August 22nd, she noted in her diary, Ibid. Ellen White spoke at the worship service on Sabbath morning. She had no difficulty in selecting a text for the sermon, and read from Haggai 1 verse 14 and 2:4, the call for God's people of old for the building of a house of worship. This had been urged upon her mind. She reported the matter in this way, I bore a clear and decided testimony, and appealed to all to rise up and build a house for the Lord. Elder Haskell spoke to the point, and we know the people felt indeed in earnest in the matter to do all they could, Ibid. There was need for haste, for they wanted to dedicate the building not later than the close of school. A meeting was called for on Sunday evening to consider the plans for building. Sunday morning Elder Haskell was again at the White home, coming before breakfast. After breakfast there was further discussion regarding the erection of the church now. Without delay, Ellen White wrote, underlining the words in her diary. They talked of carpenters, and she proposed that they visit Brother Hardy, a skillful workman and a good manager. They could also draw in Fred Lamplough, another master workman. It was raining, but they started by carriage through the woods to the Hardy home. Ellen White reported. He was at home and we laid the rough sketch before him, and he thought the dimensions proportionate. We advised with him, and he decided to stand with Fred Lamplough as directors over a large number of hands. Ibid. That Sunday evening as the church family met, it was to study the proposition that they build a church, and build it without delay. Haskell and Lamplough reported to Ellen White on Monday morning that it was a very stirring meeting. When a show of hands was called for, all present, except Metcalf Hare and C.A.B. Hughes, voted in favor of proceeding at once. Commented Ellen White in her diary, I was sorry in my heart that these men did not unite with those who were in favor. May the Lord help us and open ways before us and strengthen the purpose of everyone to arise and build. Tuesday, August 24, Haskell and Lamplough went to Sydney to purchase lumber. Hare came over to Sunnyside to converse with Ellen White in reference to the building of the chapel. We talked about 1 hour, Ellen White noted, and continued, we hope that our words and ideas were not materially apart, but in harmony generally. Ibid. At family worship that evening Ellen White prayed most earnestly for the Lord to manifest unto us his mercy and his will. A voice spoke to her, tell the people, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Letter 177a, 1897. A little later that night, as she slept, instruction came to her. Vision concerning size of the building last night, August 23rd, I seemed in a vision of the night to be in Ashfield. Several of our brethren were present. I said to Elder Haskell, this church will answer for this place, but the church at Corranbon must be larger in width and longer than this building. It must be larger than you have estimated, and should seat 400 people. Then I saw papers where the length and breadth were marked out and the figures given. I had thought 32 by 50 was not enough, and we were saying it must be lengthened. Then the width of the Ashfield Church was given, and the width of the chapel, which was wider than the Ashfield Church, and after consideration the chapel was enlarged, and as the size was stated in figures, all seemed to be pleased with width and length. Manuscript 175, 1897. Wednesday morning, August 25, Haskell called on Ellen White to report a very successful buying trip to Sydney. Materials had been secured at lower figures than anticipated. Later in the day, sample seats were displayed at the school, and Ellen White was invited to participate in the decision of the type to be ordered. For experienced carpenters were employed at 6 shillings per day, and some would make a donation of half their wages. Ellen White's letters and diary entries through the next month provide almost a day-by-day account of the work on the church building and of God's special providences. Interestingly enough, hers were not on-site observations, for Ellen White decided it would be best to keep away as the work progressed. I felt, she wrote, that the building was under the especial supervision of God, and it was so, the circumstances had been arranged by the Lord, without any of our wisdom. Letter 162, 1897. So what she wrote of the work was based on reports brought to her by Sarah and the Haskells. She wrote, "The workmen have put heart, cheerfulness, willingness into the work. They have expressed that they felt the angels of God were round about them. We had stated 7 weeks to complete the building. 10 days lumber did not come. If we had had the lumber, it would have been done before the 7 specified weeks," letter 162, 1897. "We know," she wrote, "that the angels of God were with the workers. When anything came up that was perplexing to the workmen, Elder Haskell was on hand to encourage them. He would say, 'Let us have a season of prayer,' and the presence and blessing of God came upon them. Their hearts were subdued and softened with the dew of heaven's grace. I never saw a building where we had greater evidence that the Lord managed the matter as in this." Letter 91, 1897. The new church's dedicated Ellen White was to speak in the chapel at the school on Sabbath afternoon, the day before the dedication service. There were many visitors at Corinbong, for the church dedication and for the closing exercises of the school on Sunday evening. The school chapel was totally inadequate, and so her meeting was held in the new church the very first. Sunday, October 17th, was a beautiful day, and in the afternoon all gathered in the church for the service of dedication. Ellen White describes it, "Every seat was occupied, and some were standing at the door. Between 200 and 300 were present. Quite a number came from Melbourne and also from Sydney, and from the neighborhood, far and nigh." Elder Haskell gave the dedicatory discourse. Seated on the platform where the pulpit stands were Elder Daniels, Farnsworth, Haskell, Hughes, Wilson, Robinson, and your mother, whom they insisted should make the dedicatory prayer. Herbert Lacey conducted the singing, and everything passed off in the very best order. We felt indeed that the Lord Jesus was in our midst as we presented our chapel to God and supplicated that His blessing should constantly rest upon it. And we have not heard one word of criticism. All are surprised at such a house built in so short a time, and so nice and tasty and presentable," letter 162, 1897. The Bible Echo, in reporting the dedication, described the building as situated on the school land near the Maitland Road and 3/4 of a mile from the school buildings, built of wood, well constructed, neatly painted, and presenting a very nice appearance. The land for the church was donated by the school. The building itself cost only about £550 and is capable of accommodating 450 persons. And one of the best features connected with the whole enterprise is that it was dedicated free from debt, every penny's expense having been provided for beforehand. So there was no collection called for on this occasion to clear the church from debt. The Bible Echo, November 8, 1897. One feature of the developing enterprises at Corinbong was the determination to avoid debt, even though the work was at times slowed, and all concerned had to sacrifice and deprive themselves of ordinary comforts and needs. Earlier in the year, Ellen White had commented, "There is no necessity for our meeting houses to continue year after year in debt. If every member of the church will do his duty, practicing self-denial and self-sacrifice for the Lord Jesus, whose purchased possession he is, that his church may be free from debt, he will do honor to God," letter 52, 1897. The last paragraph of the November 8th Bible Echo report of the dedication significantly declares, "In conclusion, it should be stated that the erection of this building at this early stage of the school enterprise is mainly due to the faith and energy of Pastor S. N. Haskell and Mrs. E. G. White, and the rich blessings of God on their efforts. But for them, the building would perhaps not have been built for some time yet. With but £100 in sight, they moved out by faith and began to build, and the results are as already stated. But of special significance to Ellen White was the fact that in this new start in Christian education, not only was it a success, but was, as she observed, the best school in every respect that we have ever seen, outside our people, or among Seventh-day Adventists." Letter 101, 1897. And 20 of the students have been baptized, and some came to the school who had not an experimental knowledge of what it means to be Christians, but not one student leaves the school but gives evidence of now knowing what it means to be children of God. Letter 162, 1897.